Last week in our first session on spiritual growth, we looked at some important last words, and we looked at 2 Peter chapter 3, which reads this way: "Rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All glory to Him both now and forever. Amen." And today we want to add some more important last words, this time not from Peter, but Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11, he writes this: "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful." I think we're good at that. Be joyful. "Grow to maturity." We have some work to do. "Encourage each other. Live in harmony and peace. And then the God of love and peace will be with you." Lord, as we share from your word this morning, may your spirit be connecting with our spirits. May we be able, with your help, to cast all the thoughts of the world around us aside and focus on your word today to hear from you. Lord, once again, we read that we are encouraged to grow. Help us to grow, Lord. Help us to take the steps necessary to do that. We worship you and we praise you, and we continue to magnify your wonderful name. And all God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So we see from these and other scriptures that we're constantly called on to grow spiritually. We went on last week to examine various stages that a typical believer goes through on this path toward spiritual maturity. And we covered different stages of that growth section, and I still have some copies of that here if you're interested in picking up a copy of it. Hopefully you've had some time to consider where you are on this personal path toward spiritual maturity. I realize that if you weren't here last Sunday, this is kind of difficult for you, but really what we did is we laid out some cases, if you will, or scenarios where people go through different stages on the path toward spiritual maturity. And so we're suggesting that you would take a look at those and kind of decide where you are, and that gives you some idea of where you can grow. Patsy, there's another answer to prayer. Remember last week we prayed that Patsy would be with us again, and there she is. Amen. That's exciting. We pointed out that the status quo is not a tenable position. Complacency leads to stagnation, and stagnation will eventually lead to falling back, in some cases, falling away from the faith altogether. I'm sure you've heard the old adage that, you know, when you fall into a rut, you need to remember that a rut is really a grave with the ends kicked out. And so if you're into a rut, I would encourage you to think positively about emerging and being determined to grow. And so today, in the second part of this series, my goal is really to examine one of the areas that I think most of us realize that we still have a long way to go, and that is in the knowledge of the Word. And I just want to share with you some suggestions that I'm convinced that if you apply the suggestions will help you and me, for that matter, grow. Now, before we get into specifics, it's important to examine and identify the challenges associated with continued growth towards spiritual maturity. It's not easy. It's not automatic. It can be painful. And it simply doesn't happen by chance. There's not too many good things in this world that happen by chance. Last week we mentioned that some of us found study in general and the discipline of a learning environment, and in my case I used the example of my high school classroom learning experience. I hope there's no... Oh, there are some maybe, but I just hope that the retired teachers will have some grace. You're probably better than the teachers I had. I'm struggling here. But the reality of spiritual growth, the challenge of making progress on our path to spiritual maturity, is one that requires some serious commitment in several areas. Some are difficult, and yes, for some of us, we admit, painful. And here are some of the key ones. First of all, obedience. You know, the scripture starts with a call to obedience. Way back in Genesis, Adam and Eve, called to obedience. And as humans, born without human nature, we struggle greatly with obedience. John chapter 14, 15, I'm sure that you've read this 100 times. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And so with some of his commandments, we get directly from the words of Jesus. And as we study the New Testament, the four Gospels, we get a pretty good idea of his commandments. But we also get commandments who come through the other apostles, the other New Testament writers, who also give us commandments that we should be following in our attempt to grow. So obedience is number one, and number two is discipline. Discipline is simply being determined, whatever it takes, to follow through. Discipline is making a decision to pursue growth and sticking with that decision, even though it may be time-consuming, interfere with other personal demands and priorities. The third one is we must have a plan. Objectives are really, or rather rarely met unless there is a plan with identified milestones and goals and a commitment to progress, to monitor progress. You know, how many of, I'm sure a lot of you over your years have probably made more than one New Year's resolution. You made the resolution, let me just check and see if I'm on the right wave here. You made the resolution, but you really didn't have a formal plan to see that resolution accomplished. And so there's lots of things that we say that we were going to do, we intend to do, but we don't have a plan that ties us to milestones or to many achievements along the road. And so we have the intent, we have an objective, but we don't have a plan, and for the lack of a plan, we fail. And lastly, prayer. Prayer is important in selecting the priorities and areas for your spiritual growth goals. Most, perhaps all of us, cannot manage every area requiring improvement all at once. The challenge would become overwhelming, may even result in the individual giving up. So when we think about developing a plan for spiritual growth, you can't do it all at once. So pray about what areas should be the priorities for you to work on. Pray about the tools. Pray about the resources that you will need in order to accomplish that plan. Now, before we go any further, I want to just consider our roles for a moment. Another familiar piece of scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. Paul writes there, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. This is their role, this is their responsibility now, to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son, that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. And so we see this progression again of gaining more knowledge, moving toward maturity. So I draw your attention to this particular scripture, not to talk about specific roles for apostles and so on and so forth, but to say that this verse, in these two verses in general, position the church as being the resource for people to grow and to thrive and to mature. And it doesn't always necessarily involve pastors and teachers and so on and so forth, although I guess I'm biased, but I think that's important. So what we learn here is that God has gifted the church with resources to equip the church, to facilitate its growth, to facilitate its maturity. And part of that equipping process is to provide the tools and resources, make them available to people like yourselves, to members and attendees, maybe people who are just searching for truth in the faith, and Alpha attempts to do that, people that don't know anything about the faith, perhaps, and they're just trying to find what it's all about. And so I read that and share this to make it very clear that the church, and specifically our church, and we in leadership, we certainly want to use our resources, whether they be human resources or other tools, we want to make everything that we can available to you to help you grow and make progress on your path towards spiritual maturity. So we're here, and everything that's here in this building in the way of tools and resources is for you. Now let's think about one area that's critical to spiritual growth. One item that we learned from our text last week, the call to grow in the knowledge of our Lord, and a critical part of knowing more about our Lord is to grow in knowledge of His Word. And I'm sure that you have found out before very long, if you're just a new Christian, you probably found out that there are a lot of words in the Word. So when we say, get a knowledge of the Word, we're giving you an enormous challenge. The Bible that happened to be quite handy as I was thinking about this is my old Dake's Annotated Version. I'm sure nobody else has one, but I have one. Oh, Audrey has one. I don't recommend it, but I have one. just say it, okay? I shouldn't say that. I find it very, very helpful in some areas. So I looked at it, and you know, in the Old Testament alone, there's 944 pages. So if you read 100 pages a day, 9 or 10 days, you'd have it all down. And that's with a font that's so small I can hardly read it. So if you blew it up where we could read it, it'd probably be 1,500 pages. 66 separate books in the Word alone. 66 separate books. Now imagine for a moment you applied for an apprenticeship to become a plumber. And once you're accepted, the teacher, administrator or whatever, she said, well, thank you for your fee, and here's your receipt. And by the way, here's the list of the 66 books you need to become a plumber. And furthermore, he says, now some of these books that I'm giving you, or giving you the titles, they don't really relate directly one to another. He said, you'll find a book that talks about working on ABS pipe and the kind of glue that you should use and so on and so forth. And then there's another book on working on copper pipe and the need to solder it and that can't glue it and so on and so forth. And then there's a book on the building code and you need to memorize all the issues from the building code that have anything to do with plumbing. And by the way, they don't all fit together nicely, but you will need knowledge from each of them in order to become a fully mature and skilled plumber. So the apprentice may go home feeling overwhelmed. Where do I start? Where is my plan to accomplish this challenge? And I'm sure that many of you, perhaps even as you're journeying on this path, you perhaps began your new life as a believer experiencing the same kind of overwhelming feelings. Where do I start? What tools can I use to help me with this humongous task of growing in the knowledge of the Word? Well, the aspiring plumber would probably get out his calendar. He would identify where his tests and exams were going to happen. And then he or she, listen carefully, would develop a plan. Remember, we said you need a plan. A plan to help get to his goal of reading the books, studying the books, and graduating as a certified plumber. Well, I want to start with some simple tools. A simple tool that I believe has the potential to help everyone grow in their knowledge of the Word is very simple, a daily reading plan. Now, I'm sure a lot of you have a daily reading plan. Maybe I'm not telling you anything new. A reading plan, as simple as it may be, when diligently followed, brings forth knowledge and challenge into our own lives. It lists what needs to be read each day for the goal of the plan to be achieved. If you select a Bible reading plan that says this plan will take you through the Bible in a year, you know by looking at the calendar or where you are whether you're on track or not. So your plan now has goals and objectives. So there's a wide variety of reading plans available. And if you're a new believer, there are plans tailored just for new believers. You can Google, and easily find many options for you to choose from. And my personal recommendation is that if you are a relatively new believer, I would not recommend reading a Bible in a year type of plan, but rather a plan that sticks to the themes that is, or one that is focused on the New Testament. Now, beside the reading plans, there are a number of good resources for new believers and people wanting to grow their knowledge. Some examples, and I think I have some examples on the screen, is a book called The Beginner's Bible Study Guide. And the second one is an introduction to all 66 books of the Bible, or The Bible for Beginners and All the Rest of Us is the title. And I also have two books, resources in my office. One is Enjoying Your Journey with God. It's kind of a step-by-step, chapter-by-chapter, where you can read. It asks you a lot of interesting questions, and you can work with it as you go through it. The other is called Discipleship Essentials. And these are not even the scratch of the surface in terms of how many resources are available to you. Now, I spoke a moment ago about Googling or goggling. And to do that, one needs to have a PC, a laptop, or a tablet, often called an iPad, or a smart TV. My TV is smarter than I am. Or a smartphone, commonly called devices. There are some scriptures, believe it or not, associated with devices. They don't apply, but I just throw that in for an extra. Please remember that if you don't have these tools, or if you don't have the skill set involved with looking stuff up and so on and so forth, as I said before, that's what we're here for. We're here to help you. So if you need to search for something, if you're looking for a resource, if you're looking for a tool, please take advantage of myself or Kristen or any of our people that are here on a regular basis, and they will help you find the resources on the internet that you need. Now, if you do have one or more of these devices, I highly recommend that you get some Bible software applications or apps for them. There's so many available. For example, on my computer, I use a product called Locus Word, and that's the brand name of it, and it ranges in a starter version from $235 US to $800 USD. And it's interesting, a few years ago there was a layman who felt it was so important for pastors to have the right tools that he funded the top-of-the-line edition of that software for many pastors across Canada, and I was fortunate to be the recipient of that. But while there's expensive and pricey ones, the good news is that for most people's use, there are Bible software versions that are absolutely free. On my smartphone, I have the Olive Tree Bible app. Some of you will probably have that one. It's readily available. It has the entire Bible on it. It has the ability to do word and phrase searches, to set bookmarks, and a host of other features. You can put your daily reading plan on it. Remember the old concordance books? How many had a concordance at one time? It weighed about 20 pounds. And if you wanted to look up a word where it was appearing in the Bible, you went through it alphabetically and then it gave you all of those places. But it had some shortcomings. You couldn't do a search on phrase. So again, the free Bible app on your smartphone or your PC, you can do not just word searches, but you can do phrase searches. So now these Bible apps enable beginners, or anyone for that matter, to easily pursue some theme studies. For example, Jesus made several I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. So on and so forth. And with the old concordance, you'd have a hard time searching out that theme. But with a phrase search feature, you can find all of the I am statements of Jesus in only a few moments. A relatively simple project, not possible using the old book. Other studies may require a little more work. For example, a moment ago we spoke about our Lord's call to keep His commandments. What are His commandments? I did a message series on His commandments a few years ago. It's interesting studying what His commandments really are. How can we be obedient in keeping our Lord's commandments if we don't know what they are? So in this case, you'd have to read through the four Gospels with a pencil in your hand and take some notes to allow you to find and make notes of all of the commandments that Jesus gave us. And then when you're happy that you've done that, you can move on, as I said, to look at the commandments that came to us through the other apostles, and then you can look for them in the rest of the New Testament. Other examples use the word from a word search from your app on the word love to find and read all of the New Testament uses of the word love so you can understand what love means in a New Testament context. You can do a Bible study, for example, on the names of God used throughout the Bible. You can easily Google to find out what they are and then use other resources to research their meaning and significance in our lives as believers. So back to our words, discipline, and plan for a moment. Remember that without a plan, little or nothing will happen. So exercise some discipline and make a plan. Some suggestions for your plan to improve your biblical knowledge. There are endless websites that are available on Christianity and on the Word and on the study of the Word and so on and so forth. I give you just this one as an example. I'm not saying it's the best. I'm just saying it's really quite informative. And they have a search field. So if you have questions, you can enter the question and be referred to any number of resources that will answer your question. There's a number of Bible studies available. Some fun learning activities such as quizzes and crosswords. So there's lots of tools out there that you can make use of to grow in your knowledge of the Word. Now, before we leave this segment on improving your knowledge, I want to emphasize the importance and value of learning together. Learning together, doing group Bible studies. You know, a group Bible study brings that element of discipline into our lives. We sign up, we commit our time to doing the study, and we commit, hopefully, to being there. We learn and we grow together. We enjoy fellowship and we challenge each other to grow. We understand that these studies are not just for our own benefit, but our attendance and our contribution, our comments and our thoughts, not just help us, but they benefit others. We learn and grow from each other's perspectives. So why not, as we wrap this up shortly, why not make a plan for a month or even 3 months? I've got another really cheap suggestion. Every year, you'll get some calendars, free ones like this. Some of them have nice pictures, and some of them not so nice. But if you take a calendar like this, it's a very simple tool to develop your plan and say, this is what I'm going to do. Maybe I've got a 30-day Bible reading plan, and you can put the start date on and the finish date. Maybe you're going to do a theme search on the commandments of Jesus. You can put on where you're going to start, where you're going to end. You see, then you have some discipline to make sure that you complete the plan. Find a good book on the scriptures and add it to your plan. And once you have started your plan, commit to it and stick with it. If you fall behind, catch up. And when you have finished the month and achieved the goals you have laid out for yourselves, celebrate your success. Celebrate your success. Maybe you're working on some things with another partner in the faith. Celebrate together. Maybe you developed a plan together. Take a few moments. Maybe go and have lunch together and celebrate your success. One of the group studies that I think that everybody should take as a new believer is a study in the book of John. That's where I often recommend people to start in their reading. There's a 10-session group study entitled The Gospel of John. It's readily available and would improve one's knowledge of Jesus considerably. If you're interested in being part of a group study, let me know. Give me your ideas as to what could be studied. Our closing thought for today is a prayer from Paul from his letter to the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. He writes, I have not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you something, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. That's my prayer for you today. That's the intent of our three-part series. And next Sunday is a special day because we're celebrating our church and our results from last year. And I'll be sharing a little bit on spiritual growth from the perspective of the church, not the individual. Lord, help us to grow. Help us to hear your call so many times in the scripture that call us to a pattern of growth. Call us to move in the direction of spiritual maturity. Once again, Lord, we thank you for answered prayer. We look forward to hearing more testimonies of answered prayer as we continue to pray together for the needs of this assembly of believers. We bless your holy name. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.